Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in to this Thursday afternoon edition of Gwen and Chris.
Tony Sounds Gwen. Like you're welcoming people to a three-ring circus, which in a lot of ways this is. So,
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, in case you've been under a rock today, you might not have heard the Padres have hired a manager. No, it's not Albert Pujols, not Ruben Niebla, no, not Nick Hudley. Craig Stammen is your new Padres manager, former Padre himself, moved into the front office in 2023 after his last season. He will be at the helm for the San Diego Padres next year.
This is either, you know, going to be a really inspired hire that we're all going to look at and go, man, you know, they were onto it, man. They saw something. Or it's going to be something that people are going to be critical of if it doesn't work out, especially if it doesn't work out right away, Tony, yeah. Right? Because people are that way.
I think that people are going to.
They're already that way. That's my point. They're already thinking that it's not going to work, and you know, I don't think that's. It's certainly not fair at all to think that. And I think, you know, I was surprised. You were surprised. Everyone's surprised. But maybe we shouldn't be surprised because of a couple of things.
Ding ding ding.
Number one, the media that covers this stuff and puts this stuff out day after day after day with rumors and innuendos and this and that and the other, understand that whatever the source is they're getting this from probably doesn't want to tell them what's really going on. They want to give them a little something,
but
they don't want to give them the actual.
Right.
So for them, you got to understand, Kevin Acey isn't in the meetings. He's got his sources, though. There's no question. He works his tail off. But I'm pretty sure that the Padres, like a lot of organizations, I mean, which managerial hire that was made this offseason was expected? Kurt Suzuki, was he the one that was going to go to the Angels? Would Walt Weiss?
Maybe Walt Weiss.
But they looked everywhere else first. Derek Shelton, I never heard him connected to the Twins.
Nope.
They don't want to give you this stuff. But you have a job to do in the media to try to figure it out and try to tell everybody who it is before it is. And I'm going to get into this because our overtime segment is going to be a lot about the manager, of course, today. Scrabe, you'll put it up at 4:30. But I just think, had Craig Stammen been one of the four finalists?
If his name had been mentioned
and they said, you know, it's probably down to Pujols, Hundley, Niebla, and Stammen, you would have gone today.
Here's the thing.
I like this. Craig Stammen, okay. But the fact his name was never mentioned, you're all out there going, what?
Great. Do that one more time for me.
What?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know what's also great about this for the Padres being able to keep it a secret?
What?
The Padres were able to keep it a secret.
You guys
got to
work on it. Both of you need to work on it.
Because he was the interviewer for some of these things, so people may have not connected the dots that he was being interviewed for the manager job.
Here's the other thing, and this goes back to your point that you were making about media in our
day and age. Everybody's got to come up with
first,
something,
right? So I take you back to when Manny signed. You know, it was when that started. It was one of those rumors. Oh man. Padres are in on Manny Machado, right? Do you remember this? Like, and we were just kind of like, yeah, right. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No shot. We all said no shot.
We said no shot. He ends up signing. I fast forward to this one. I don't know if it was Alden. I don't remember if it was Dennis. I can't remember who it was. But when they wrote the first article about the four people. There was a mystery person in there that we all kind of heard and was like, yeah, okay, this is, we see the mystery.
We dismissed that.
Right.
Yeah,
mystery team, it. Mystery yeah. player, in this case, mystery manager. We just dismissed it. Well, in fact, that probably, looking back on it, could have been a mystery guy.
I just think Craig Stammen, here's a couple of things right off the bat. He's about the best guy I've met around the Padre organization in a while,
solid,
Tony.
Solid.
We've been on the show 8 years. There are certain guys that we've interviewed, and we like most of the interviews. In fact, almost all of them. Yeah. All of the guys are always pretty good. But there's a few guys that stand out above the others when I look at it. Stammen's one of those guys.
Yeah.
So his ability to, in my mind, you know, deal with people, you know, figure out a way to, you know, relate to others, communicate, I think it, from my experience, is off the chart.
Yeah.
Secondly, that might be the most important thing you need now in managing. The analytics, there's a whole department that's going to do that anyway. The bullpen usage, every new manager has a learning curve there, including Dave Roberts, who didn't figure it out until last year. So, okay, he's going to have that curve. But I think you're relating to people and getting the most out of people is a big deal right now. And I saw something yesterday that I just thought of. Steve Kerr was interviewed about before he was the manager, the coach of the Warriors, or when he had maybe gotten the job, but he had never, hadn't started yet. And it was off season. Steve Kerr said, you know what? I want to learn from the best before I start. One of the guys he went and watched coach was Pete Carroll. At the time, it was the Super Bowl guy, Seahawks, the whole thing. And Steve Kerr said he, you know, watched Pete Carroll for 2-3 days. And Pete Carroll called him into his office. And Steve Kerr was all, you know, and Pete Carroll said, so what are you going to do? What Pete Carroll asked him, how are you going to do this? And Steve Kerr started giving him his offense and his defense and how he's going to do the rotations and what he had studied. And Pete Carroll said, ho, ho, ho. He goes, that's fine. He goes, but I'm going to tell you, every coach has that. How are you going to deal with people?
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with your players? What are going to be the four, and he asked for four things, but what are going to be the four most important things about the character of the players you have and the way you relate to them? You come up with those, and you'll have the secret to your success. And that's interesting. That's coming from Steve Kerr and Pete Carroll. I'm not saying Craig Stammen's the same, but the relations in this day and age, Tony, you've seen this.
They matter, man. They matter when guys feel like you got their back. And what we know is that it doesn't just expand to your players. It needs to expand to your staff as well.
Right.
Stam is as I was a teammate of his in 2015. And I've basically, he's followed me everywhere I've gone after that. Right? He's been here in San Diego. And I don't know that this is, it may feel like a surprise, but it's not that outside the box as you just kind of gone over. I mean, just think. When Mike Schilt took over the helm in 24, he had been in the organization for a year and a half. And one of his advantages was that he knew the organization, he knew the people he was working with. He had those relations, or at least had started to build those relationships. Stam's the same way in so many ways, right? Because, yes, he's been in the front office, but he's not one of the suits that just is up there, right? I've literally seen him on the field shagging. He's in that clubhouse. Like,
yeah, he still wants to
be part of it all.
He's
still very much around.
And the minor league part of it too, Tony, which was part of his duties, was to be around that. Look, I think it's a really good hire. If it's not, then you can all say you were wrong. I don't know. But Schilt was a good hire.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of people that day saying, well, yeah, Super Bowl. You know, it wasn't right, the feeling. Right, it was like, right. Okay, this is kind of ho-hum. All right, it was easy. He's in our organization.
Right.
We all knew it. You're just bringing him in. You're kind of taking the easy way out. Well, Schilt, I think, has worked out pretty well for the 2 years he was the guy. I think Stammen's going to do fine.
I do too.
There's going to be a learning curve. And had his name been up there next to Pujols,
reportedly
as a finalist,
different reaction.
It would have been a totally different thing. And I want people to listen to the overtime today because I did a deep dive on what successful managers were as players before they got into managing. And you know what one thing hardly any of them were, Tony? Hall of Famers.
Mm.
and Pujols is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Very soon.
You find me. I'll let you. You take the time to do it if you want. Go through Wikipedia, wherever you got to. You find a manager who's won a World Series that was in the Hall of Fame as a player, and then let me know about it. It doesn't happen very often, but you all were just convinced that Pujols was guaranteed. Maybe he will be great.
I think by
but
now...
But we don't know.
Listen, I think by now, honestly, if you're still, like, not paying attention to how AJ moves,
yeah.
you're missing the boat. He's zigging when everybody else is zagging. That's what it seems like. Like, everybody had sunk their teeth into Albert. You know how many people I ran into in the grocery store, at a game. Albert Pujols, huh? Like, I don't know, man. We'll see.
Yeah. It was like fait accompli.
We'll see. Because ultimately, there's always an outside-the-box type of thought, at least to the outside world, that A.J. Preller is always entertaining. And so I got a chance to speak with A.J. earlier today. I almost forgot to tell you guys. But
I was going to poke you for it.
It was about our pickup game tomorrow.
I was going to say he didn't like the screen you set for him last week or something.
About making sure.
Look, we hired a manager today, but Tony, next time, yes. Come on.
It was about our making sure I was healthy enough to play
okay,
in the morning.
Right.
But so I said, hey, man, you seem to be zigging when everybody else is zagging. And he just kind of laughed. He's always had an eye on Craig Stammen. He has. I think it probably was more about Craig wanting to commit to doing that. He has a young family that, you know, he's going to be taking time away to do the best job he can here. And so I think all the candidates at the end of the day kind of had the same thing working for him. I think the difference was there was some familiarity with Stammen. He knows, he's always one of the smarter baseball people that's going to be in the room. But I think it's the point that you hit on, which is he is great in terms of how he communicates and the relationships he's built. And I think ultimately that element, I think, made him a front runner in the deal.
Should serve him well. I really think it will.
No doubt. All right, let's get to break. Qualifying offers were made today. Did Dylan Cease get one? Did Michael King get one?
Did I get one?
Did Chris Ellis get one? I can tell you he didn't.
Oh.
I can tell you about the others on the other side. More Gwen and Chris.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So apparently I'm not the only one that leaves right before the segment starts. Chris Ella returning back to his area.
Kind of like me trying to find a parking spot earlier. I'm running late.
That's also the overtime.
Just wait until the overtime episode. It drives me nuts when people make excuses that don't make any sense.
Today is a good day to listen to the overtime for sure. Scrave, you'll put it up on the YouTube at 4:30. All right. Thank you there, Tony. Welcome back.
That's what teammates are for.
What we're up to. Craig Stammen is the manager of the Padres, and a whole lot more coming up about that. A.J. Preller with Ben and Woods earlier today, and we'll hear what A.J. had to say. If you missed it, that's coming up in about 20 minutes. Of course, we have a short show today because there's a little Thursday night football on tap. You know who's playing, Tony? You never do. I'll give you one of the teams. The Denver Broncos is one of the teams.
Oh, they're playing somebody.
They're playing a division rival that you're familiar with.
The Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders are in action tonight, yeah. Thursday night, I'm sure Al Michaels is in one. Yeah,
are you okay?
Careful. I went a little too deep there.
Al Michaels is probably in one of his moods tonight. I got this crap game.
Yeah. You know, Al doesn't like a bad game.
He doesn't like a bad game.
He doesn't like a bad game.
And he's not shy to complain about it either. He's not. So, Thursday Night Football Raiders.
He's definitely reached that stage in his life where he has a hard time.
I'm getting close.
Not telling the truth.
I'm getting. Oh, not telling. I was going to say, yeah, you just say what you want to say. You have no filter at all.
Right.
So we have all of that. The other thing that we didn't mention, along with all the manager stuff, AJ Preller, according to reports, I don't know if we should believe any of the reports anymore, but let's do it anyway. He is expected to get his contract extension by Monday.
Yeah, about time.
I will say that Kevin Acey, look, Kevin's, you know, ahead of the game 98% of the time. This time the Padres were able to keep it, right? Because they actually sent out the release this morning before anybody tweeted, or did they?
Someone.
What was the exact time?
Way out in Kentucky somehow.
Oh, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah.
Mal Jones.
And I surmise that because Stam is out from that area, he lives, I think he's from the Ohio area.
Okay.
That's the only way a dude from Kentucky had to have come
a
out of that
from
region.
Kentucky broke it, huh?
Kentucky.
From Kentucky.
Well, I'm going to start following that guy so I can get my Padre news ahead of time.
Yeah, that was interesting. But it wasn't that long. Maybe 30 minutes later, AC
Everybody
followed
else.
It up.
Yeah.
So did Matt Jones force this to go quicker?
No.
Because
is that the guy's name from Kentucky?
Yeah,
from
and
Kentucky.
he runs a Kentucky sports network kind of thing where they talk about a lot of Kentucky college sports. So it's very random. He got the scoop.
I heard from someone, Paul Feinbaum Light is what it was referred to as. That's kind of the
If I was the guy from Kentucky, want to get that ended as soon as possible.
Katrina's saying that he went to Dayton.
Who did?
Matt Jones.
Oh, because that's also where Stam went. So
okay.
there's a connection right,
all
there.
Right.
He's a Dayton Flyer.
Do you know why they call him Flyers?
No, I don't. But I know that being Stam had these conversations because he follows their basketball team. Obviously, I follow State. We kind of mid-major guys, if
State
you will.
State played in Dayton last year, they'd like to forget about it.
They probably would.
And that first four.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Never mind. It wasn't Matt Jones that went to Dayton.
Okay, never mind. That makes no sense.
Katrina, come on.
Katrina, don't do that to us.
I'm blaming the chat again.
But hey, look, the guy from Kentucky finding out, it's blind squirrel, acorn thing probably.
Probably.
Kind of like, I mean.
He said in his tweet that he got a text from someone that said the next manager is going to be.
Which he is went just, with it? I could have sent him that text.
Was the disclaimer, I think Adam was telling us, the disclaimer was he said that if this ends up being wrong, I'll never break another Padre news story again.
And it worked.
Turned out to be right.
It makes me remember one of my glory moments. Sorry to do this and be self-serving, but the time that I called. The time I called the hotel. Shut up, Scraby.
Oh, my gosh. I've heard this story 9 million times.
You're not going to hear it 9 million.
I want to hear it 9 million
All
times.
The other people are wondering, what's he going to say? What's he going to say?
Scraby, you ruined it for us.
Why don't you tell us, Scraby? You know the story.
What story is it?
What was it?
Is it the Dick Vitale story? Is it the Kevin Garnett story? Is it the one where you called the guy a loser and he was on hold?
No, that's another one, though. Those are all,
stories. What were you saying?
You know the story. It was when I called the hotel and Mike Dunleavy picked up the phone.
That's right.
And then he was going to be the Laker coach the next day, and nobody knew that he was in town. And I wrote it and then crossed my fingers. And the next day, he was the coach.
In all seriousness, that is pretty cool. It feels good to have
to take
information
a risk, to
that
take
no
a risk,
one else
and
has.
And it worked for you?
Yeah, but you know who took the risk, don't you? Loriello.
Oh.
She was the one that dialed the phone because I didn't have the guts to do it.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about actually writing it.
Oh, yeah.
Before.
My editor had something to do with that. He's like, we need a little something here. Okay. Let's go with it.
Fair enough.
I said, I did talk to him. He goes, there's no other way he would be here. So we went with it. But yeah, Lori called and asked for his, you know, in the hotel, said Mike Dunleavy's room. And then the next thing she said is, it's ringing. And there it was. All right. Anyway, we are underway. And we mentioned this about the managers. Stammen is the eighth manager to be hired this offseason. The Rockies are still looking for one. Although they did hire their new GM or director of baseball ops today. It's a name people are actually pretty familiar with. Paul DePodesta, who actually was the character Jonah Hill played in the movie Moneyball.
It's a good character.
But he was basically run out of baseball for ineptitude, was he not, Tony, when he was with the Dodgers, I think.
After the Moneyball thing kind of
dried
up.
Right, he took
up.
A job with the Dodgers, and then he proved he really couldn't do the job without Brad Pitt's character, which was Billy Bean. So, yeah, Di Podesta ended up, you know who he's been in charge of? The Cleveland Browns.
Yowzers. I mean, this makes sense, though. I mean,
a terrible organization. Why would you? A guy that.
One
this is
poorly
the guy,
ran organization, you look to another.
You go to another
organization.
One. Yeah, the Rockies.
And
are
bring
never,
in somebody from over there.
We should say that it's probably good because the Rockies are just never going to be a threat to us in this division.
Right.
Probably as long as we live.
Great hire.
Great hire, guys. Good luck with Di Podesta, but he needs a manager. But the other managers, ask yourself, how many of these did you expect? Before you go crazy on the Padres and say, caught me.
The offseason has been full of unexpected hires.
There's nobody. Walt Weiss was the last guy anyone was talking about in Atlanta. They were looking all over, apparently. Settled on a guy that was already there. Blake Butera with Washington. Nobody had ever even heard of him, you know, unless you're really into the game. Derek Shelton. At least there's a previous manager, but I don't remember him being linked to the Twins until he got the job.
Well, I went over this. He worked for the Twins before, so he already had that
had a little connection
established.
All right, how about Albernez of Baltimore? Nobody knew who he was. Kurt Suzuki, the Angels, I heard a lot of names besides his. Maybe Skip Schumacher seemed like a
for
pretty
sure.
decent fit with Texas.
That once you saw him sign one, on and you saw Venable leave,
yeah, that one
was
seemed okay. And then the most shocking of all, sorry, but Tony Vitiello, the Giants.
Yeah.
Nobody saw a college coach being hired.
I mean, his name's Vitello. That's how much he's not known, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's related, long lost relative.
Oh, I keep him. He said Vitiello. I was just trying to make a joke.
Oh, Vitello.
It didn't.
You missed again.
Didn't land.
So anyway, if that's the only reason that you're, you know, quote upset about this hire, you know, get a hold of yourself because this is what Major League Baseball teams are A, doing, and B, they don't want to give clues to who they're close to hiring.
No.
That's why it's a surprise. It's meant to be this way.
Yeah. No, so. I mean, listen, as I said, this is not out of the blue for AJ. He's kind of always had him in mind. I think it probably had more to do with Craig and him deciding he wanted to throw his hat in the mix at that point. And so you mentioned it. And really, in the Braves case, in the Rangers case, right? All these guys are taking over teams that they already have some continuity with. They already have a lot of the kind of some built-in relationships already. Manny played with Stan. You know, Toddy played with Stan.
That's a pretty good start.
You know, so those are all bonuses to have. Joe played with Stan. Like, there are the basic core of this team all played with Craig Stammen. And so they're going to have a – I think they're going to have a – he's got a leg up at least going in having those relationships built already.
One thing I would also say, Tony, when the very, very first list came out, and I think it was Jeff Sanders of the UT who put a nice list together of 11, think, names, the day that Schilt announced he was retiring, the 11 names, and I went through them all. The one of the ones that I gravitated to on that original list was Scott Servais. I did because he was already in the Padre organization and had familiarity. So that is kind of what they ended up getting was somebody in that same vein. So
I don't know if you guys saw this. I mean, there's Dennis Lynn kind of put this up on his Twitter. Okay, we're going.
Scraby's giving signals. Whenever that happens,
this is like the best way.
I shouldn't have stopped. I got to get better. That was a rookie kind of mistake there. You know, Ben Fritz, who, according to Dennis Lynn, was recently given a new multi-year deal. So the staff is going to probably be coming in pretty much intact outside of the hitting coach spot as Stammen comes in. Don't know if that's going to be the same for the bench coach spot, but I think my guess is all the coaches are probably given permission to look elsewhere except for those who were already under contract.
Isn't it most important to Tony that Ruben Niebla be kept in the fold?
Oh, he's kept in the fold. He's got 2 years left on his deal.
Okay, so he...
He's here.
So the fact that he did not... Now, he had the okay to search for a manager job, I'm sure, but the fact he didn't get another one, unless he's the Rockies, I guess.
Well, you got to... We don't know that he wasn't... Here? We don't know that he wasn't... there weren't other teams interested. Because he's under contract, you'd have to be given permission from the Padres in order to talk to Ruben. I don't think the Padres had any plans of letting Ruben go unless it was going to be as their,
as
manager.
Their manager.
Right.
Well, I'm hoping and I'm assuming that Stammen and he had some pretty decent relationship, although Niebla wasn't Stammen's pitching coach here. That was,
no.
There was somebody else.
Maybe.
Yeah, he was.
Has Ruben been here that long? That he
He's
worked
been here
for
longer
Stammen?
Than 2 years.
Yeah, yeah he has.
Yeah. Yeah, Stammen was last year was 23.
So, and Ruben came to the team in 2022. So yeah
okay, he had him.
That's an interesting dynamic.
All right, so let me ask you this, Tony. We got a couple minutes. You talked about the qualifying offers, right?
Yeah.
Going into the break, and two of them were Padre players that were given qualifying offers, right? Michael King, Dylan Cease. Tell us what that means, because I don't really understand all that. Does that put us back in a favored role to get either of them?
They've lessened the blow on the qualifying offers due to the last collective bargaining. It used to be the qualifying offer pretty much crippled any team if a player took the qualifying offer, or it hampered the free agent if they extended the qualifying offer. And so it's changed a little bit, so it's not as harsh on the guys who are extended qualifying offers. Certainly Michael King, who I think – was the guy, along with Dylan Cease, that were offered qualifying offers, they can take that money. It's the, what, 20 and a half, somewhere around there?
22.
That's the going rate.
So they can get that from the Padres and be done right now.
Be done right now. 1 year deal, 22.
But we're
boom.
Assuming neither of them are going to take.
It's somewhat like a franchise.
It's
tag.
Already. It's we've already seen the projections for both Cease and King, and both of them eclipsed that number.
So
it's 25 is the number it's starting at least for King.
All right. So the qualifying offer is a nice little story that Jeff Passan can break today, but it doesn't really. Amount
Listen,
to a
Michael,
hill of beans.
Michael King could get out there. Now, he's got a certain amount of time to accept his qualifier.
I think it's a week.
Yeah, you don't get it all day. And so maybe he feels like it's the best offer he's going to get, or he thinks, nah, I'm going to take my shot on the free agency market.
Now, here's another reason why they do this. And we should say that Luis Arraez was not offered one, neither was Ryan O'Hearn. And the reason they do that, they don't want to offer four guys $22 million.
And they all take
four guys
it.
Opt
yeah.
in. But if the player declines and they become free agents, then the team gets a draft pick
right.
compensation. So it's kind of like the Padres either saying, hey, we might get them for one more year, or we're going to hedge our bets and get a draft pick.
Right.
Okay.
And they've lessened the blow on that because it used to be a lot more.
So if the player took the qualifying offer, the team went broke.
No, it used to be a lot harder on the player. It was tagged to more than just the pick that Scraby's
yeah.
talking about. It used to be more, and that would, you know, pretty much stop guys from being able to sign during the because the team that was getting them would have to give up that pick.
Yeah, and like Luis Arraez is offered a qualifying offer at $22 million. I would think he would take that.
He probably would take that.
And then Dylan Cease is like, I'm going to take that. And then Michael King's like, I'm going to take that. And then now the Padres owe $66 million for three guys.
Right. So,
but did they offer Arraez? Did I not
see
that? No, they
did
not offer Arraez.
They did not.
All right.
Or Ryan O'Hearn.
Got you. Remember, and that doesn't mean that they won't get O'Hearn back here.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Same with Arraez. I mean, all of these guys could end up
Everybody's
back.
A free agent, and it's wide open at the moment. Remember to listen at 4:20 today. That's only an hour and a half or so from now. We're going to announce today's biggest fan. That winner will have a chance to qualify for a night in our Odyssey suite at a future Padres home game. You get to hang out with your friends and all of the fan staff. Register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. And then once you do that, you have the possibility of having your name called even as early as today. at 4:20. All right, AJ Preller, what did he have to say about the hiring of Craig Stammen? Ben and Woods, Weirds, they had him on. Those two guys.
I think Sam Levitt was sitting in for Woods this morning, so.
Ben and Levitt.
Ben and Levy.
All right. They're coming up with AJ Preller, so you get to hear what he had to say when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
2:40. I know some of y'all are in your, this is the worst thing that ever happened to the Padres mode right now. And I would, my advice to you would be, give it a shot. Because it's happening. Whether you like it or not.
You know, one of the things I learned when I was going through rehab, and I promise this makes sense, is I used to dwell all the time on things that didn't happen. And I used to think about how much different things would be if it did happen. And then when I went to rehab, I realized that's just waste of thoughts. Because the reality is this is happening.
This is happening for at least 3 years. At least.
At least.
I mean, it could end up being shorter.
Who did Dave Roberts manage before the Dodgers hired him? One game with the Padres. Okay,
I know there was
an experience.
I know a lot of that kind of like thing that you were doing in rehab was done in that situation too. Especially after the Dodgers started to have success. Oh, we could have had that guy at the helm.
Oh,
right?
yes, you know what I'm saying. Yes,
so,
yes.
But to answer your question, no one head coach head manager.
Bruce Bochy had. I don't think anybody even knew who he was when the Padres hired him. Honestly, and he's gone on to be one of the best. Anything's possible, and that's what Tony's saying.
Right.
We don't know whether it'll be a good hire or not, but I have a feeling it's going to be good. But I'm also going to wait and see, like you should. Don't go crazy over the fact that they hadn't mentioned Craig Stammen's name to you before they hired him.
I will also say this.
What will you also say, Scravy?
I am much happier to have Craig Stammen as manager than Blake Butera and Craig Albernaz, because I had no idea who those guys were.
You can't even spell Albernaz.
I can, but if we spot you, I looked at it.
If we spot you the Alber, you can't spell.
Because if
that
they
one.
Were to hire, to me, a Butera, an Albernaz, it would have felt the same as Jace Tingler. So at least we're familiar with the guy who's coming in. We know what kind of work ethic he has. We know what he did for the team.
That's my kicker with all of it, is that everybody is feeling a way because of their own comfort with a name that they don't know, ultimately. And that's including Albert Pujols. Like, you know him as the player, the Hall of Famer, the...
Yeah.
3,000 hits, 500. You know him as all of that.
We've already touched on the lack of success that most Hall of Famers have.
Have we touched on that here? I don't think we touched on that here, have we?
Well, we touched on it somewhere.
Okay.
Overtime episode that's going to go up at 4:30. We've mentioned it before. But Chris did some more research.
Well, here's the thing. The other thing is you just don't know how it's all going to work. I'm looking at Terry Francona's career right here for fun. Did you know that he managed the Phillies for 4 years?
I did.
And was never better than 20 games under 500.
What years was that?
97 through 2000. He won 68, 75, so he was a little, 12 under, 77, 65. So twice he was like 30 games under 500. He then was nobody for 3 years. Then the Red Sox brought him in 04, and he won the World Series.
Yep.
And now he's the greatest manager of all time, or you know what I mean. So it's the managing is a hit and miss thing in all facets.
Yeah, I think
when you think about it.
I think the major point is you just don't know. You don't know.
You
don't
think
know.
You do.
You think you do, but you don't. There's a chance you might be right. But there's
sure,
no
you're gonna. Well, right. I mean, some people are gonna say he's gonna be good. Some are gonna say he's gonna be bad. And half of you are gonna probably be right.
Right.
So that's probably
right.
Where this stands right now. I think it's kind of. I like the fact that he has the familiarity with the
Me
organization.
Too.
I'm really trying to dig into this. And if you want me to be negative, it's not that I'm not looking at that. I'm trying to see what your negativity is a result of out there. And what I'm coming up with is that you hadn't heard his name. Because there's no other reason to be negative about Craig Stammen. Or if you say, well, he didn't have experience. Well, but none of the people whose names you had heard had experience.
I think we're also in a weird spot where... Tony put zero up. I think we're in a weird spot, too, where the older, recognizable manager names are moving into retirement, and we're getting the new guys.
See, Boach decided that he looks like he's moving towards
He's a special advisor
office.
For the Giants.
And listen, obviously, managing is not the youngest of young, but it's becoming a younger man's job.
Now we just saw what happened to a 50, what was she, 57, 59?
Yeah.
He wore out.
So, listen. This is I like the hire. I think ultimately, the continuity, all of that. This roster is largely set, and so you're going to have to obviously going to be some additions in this rotation. But I'm saying the core of this team is set, and having guys who've been here be comfortable with kind of the whoever's new coming in and having some built-in relationship, I think that gives Craig a head start. All right. We mentioned it before we went to break. A.J. Preller joined Ben and Levitt.
And Ben and Weirds is the new name for the show on the
what
chat.
Is it called?
Ben and Weirds. That's what you said.
Weirds, yeah.
Ben and Levitt, because Sam set in for Woodsy today, and they talked to Mr. Preller. And the first question, obviously, out of their mouth was, how did he come across the hire of Craig Stammen? Is that not on there?
Why do I not see that one?
It's the first one.
Huh.
That's a point for Scraby.
Yeah, that's... Yep, I didn't...
I guess I worded it a little bit different.
Nope. I didn't drag all them in. This is my fault. I get a point.
Nah, it's two points now.
We obviously sat down with a long list of candidates to start with, and... You know, I think from Craig, you know, he's somebody that he's been in the organization. He's been, you know, big in terms of, you know, somebody that, you know, on the field, you know, was extremely hard worker, a player that was, you know, on our teams, led in, you know, on the field and also in the clubhouse, you know, the last few years has been around the organization in uniform, you know, working with Schulte and the coaching staff and the player group. Also working with others in the organization from the minor league standpoint, and then also with the front office. So, you know, again, he's somebody that we have a lot of trust and faith in. He's somebody that, you know, as a player, super prepared, and you know, work ethic off the charts, and a guy that has a lot of respect in that clubhouse from a lot of people that work at Petco and the player group. And you know, we're just really excited about him as a choice.
AJ Preller likes grinders. I can tell you that. Craig Stammen is a grinder, and you know, I think he kind of hit on all the things that we've been talking about, why it was a good hire for him. When you have that type of respect for the person at the top of the organization, and it's the same respect that you have for the person at the bottom of the organization, I think those are the type of people that can have success. And you know, that's kind of what AJ was hitting on there, Chris.
Yes, and another thing I'm going to hit on is a reminder of something we did say earlier. Not that Craig Stammen has to work harder for this to happen, but I hope that they get off to a good start, because you know what people are going to do around
for
here.
Sure.
And who's going to hear it every day?
We are.
We can't believe they hired this guy. What were you guys? You guys said it was going to be okay. Sorry, sir. They're 2-3. I apologize.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
I mean, it's going to be... Yeah. We're going to hear about it.
For sure.
So, I'm very curious. Please get off to a good start.
I'm very curious to see how he handles the media, especially, like, not... Mike Schilt, there were some moments, but I'm very curious. I feel like he's going to be very media savvy.
He'll have moments too, though, because he's a guy.
Absolutely, will have moments.
He's a competitor.
Yeah,
It will be interesting to see the different contrasts. Like now that I've been doing this for a little bit of time, in terms of on the broadcast side, I've seen many different forms of it. Right, I've been around to see Bo Mel do his thing, and you saw how Mike kind of did his thing and the differences between the two. Now you're gonna get Stammen, who. You know, but now he's not out of the game, not far that far removed from actually being on the field.
But he was a pretty approachable guy, I'm assuming, in locker rooms games, right?
He was generally the guy that, you know, people went to because they knew they'd get something good from him. Yeah. So, Ben and Sam, both talked to him about his current relationship with the players.
Yeah, I think it's a factor, you know, for sure. I mean, I think, I think the fact that Craig knows, you know, our players, our team, he played with, you know, guys on the team, he's able to hit the ground running from that standpoint. And you talk about experience, his experience has been in that clubhouse. And then the last few years, you know, around the coaching staff and, you know, around the group as well with a different perspective. So, you know, I think for us, you know, I think the ability we have a good team that we think, you know, obviously has been in the playoffs here the last couple of years and the core of the team that should be returning. So, you know, the fact that Craig knows those guys well, played with some of those guys, and knows the organization in and out, you know, our staff and our players, that was a definite factor for us in the decision.
Again, bonus that he has all that. And from AJ's standpoint, listening to him talk about experience, the important experience was the experience inside the clubhouse. And I could see why, right? You got a good staff around you, which you know you're going to have, especially on the pitching side. There's probably a ton of continuity because Stam has been down there talking to Kratzy a lot, certainly been down there to Fritzy a lot.
Yeah.
He's been down there talking to Ruben a lot. So there's already some continuity built in there. And so, you know, again, you start to look at reasons why it fits. Here's another one. Lastly, they had to ask the elephant in the room question, which was about Albert Pujols, because everybody had sunk their teeth into Albert and kind of wrapped their mind around him being a manager.
Spent an hour on it last night.
It's on the Scraby Chronicles.
Hey, Fat Albert.
What?
They used to call him Fat Albert.
P-H-A-T. Look,
he got a little tight there.
You know why? Because I've heard the hey jokes sent my way before. It put me back in high school a little bit.
Wow, you used to get the Fat Albert jokes in high
school? Come on, Scrab.
Does it surprise you guys that I was picked on a little bit?
Well, yeah, no.
No, you're right.
I'm a much different person now.
You're right. It doesn't surprise me at all. What did they have to say about Albert?
Yeah, Albert was, you know, first class and, like, I mean, to me, it was very impressive in the process, as you would expect. I mean, obviously, talking to him, pretty easy to see, you know, his experiences as a player, you know, the way he was prepared and talked about what made him successful. I think for us, you know, him getting down to that final, you know, final interview and everything like that, you could see that, you know, that's going to translate to players. He has a real want to do it. He went and managed an Escogido, you know, on the winter ball team. So, you know, again, these are the conversation with him, you know, with Albert, we told him we were going in a different direction. He was super professional and just explaining, look, we started with, you know, probably over 50 candidates on a piece of paper and, you know, leading to Zoom interviews and first round interviews and then in-person interviews and, you know, pretty detailed process overall with, you know, staff and ownership, and to get down to that final grouping, you know, I think for him speaks a lot about his candidacy and, you know, he wants to do this. I'm sure he's going to do this in the big leagues for a long time, but you can only hire one manager and just let him know that, honestly.
My first thought is, dang, how many times has Albert Pujols been told no in his life? Like, since becoming a player. Like,
something new.
That's probably... Because when he got to explaining, you know, that they told him, you know, we had 50 candidates, and you got to, it's like, he probably did that because it was Albert. Like, it was like, hey, man, we're going to go in a different direction. Thank you.
Yeah, that would. I don't know if that would be the easiest conversation.
You know what I'm saying? That'd be quite awkward.
What I want to know, did the crack interviewers this morning, Ben and Sammy Leavitt, ask Craig Stammen or ask Albert or AJ what Craig Stammen's thought is when it comes to bunting. Isn't that really what everybody wants to know?
No, because the leading culprit was not in the building for that question.
Woodsy would have opened with that. Does he like to bunt?
I think, Tony, you just found a question for next week.
Oh, yeah, I won't be asking that one. I promise you. Yeah, your boy's sitting in for Sam Levitt on Monday. So
doing the Craig Stammen interview.
Where am I going?
You're
going
to be... No, he's going down early for the press conference.
For the press conference.
Oh, okay.
No, you're still here. I'll be here, too, with you. Don't worry.
Okay.
All right, let's get to break. 3 o'clock hour on the other side. We may have Daily Gambit. We may have something else. Don't know yet. Stay tuned. More Gwen and Chris.
Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.